From today onward, our Sunday sermons will, as much as possible, synchronize with our Sunday school curriculum. And this is good for the church as a whole, because as we hear the Word of God preached here in this sanctuary, we will have the opportunity to be able to share with our children back home, whether we are parents or grandparents, what we understood of God's Word. And it will be also give us the opportunity to be able to relate to them and to challenge them to want to know this God and to live for this God. And this is what the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is telling us, that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this heavy responsibility that at every given opportunity to stir the hearts of our children to want to know this God. For this quarter of the year 2020, that is from today up to March, our focus will be on the book of Genesis. And this morning message, the beginning of the world and man, is based on what God says in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Our goal is simple. We want to know what God has said about the origin of the universe and man. We want to know where we came from and how we got here. Are we the chance products of mindless evolution? Or are we here because God created us? Did the universe just happen, or was it caused? Did the human race rise up from apes, or were we intentionally created by the hand of God for a purpose, to bear His image? Those questions are foundational to the understanding of reality itself. If you believe that we evolved over billions of years, that we are nothing more than time plus chance plus a few mutations that separate us from the whale and the bird and the orangutan, if that's what we are, and that's all we are, then you don't need God, because the universe can take care of itself quite nicely without Him. But if you believe that every single man and woman is a creation of God, and that we are unique because God made us in His image, then you will have an entirely different view of the universe and your place in it. Let's start with what God says or what God revealed in Genesis chapter 1, please turn your Bible to it, to Genesis chapter 1. The story of Genesis begins with the four words. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. This tells us that before anything existed, there was nothing but God. No material realm, no space, no time. God alone, as this verse tells us, inhabited eternity. The church fathers and the reformers taught us that the name Genesis 1:1 uses for God is the plural form, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, rather than the singular Eloha. A revelation that God existed in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one God and the same in substance, equal in power and glory. This is to say, the Son is no less than the Father, and the Holy Spirit no lesser than the Father and the Son. So, before the world came into being, the triune God was already there. In the beginning, God is really just another way of saying, before the beginning, before there was anything, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was there in communion with each other. The book of Genesis begins by introducing us to this great triune God who is Lord of all, the creator and sustainer of everything. And Genesis 1:1-2 tells us that this creator God created everything out of nothing. Let me read to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. That is, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, right at the beginning of the Bible story, we see the triune God at work in creation, creating out of nothing the whole universe and all that is in it. The phrase, the heavens and the earth, means exactly that. Creating out of nothing means the triune God did not start his creation of the whole universe and all in it with any raw material. It was by the power of his word that God created everything, living and non-living things, with intentionality and ease. He commanded, "Let there be," and let. Verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, and 20. And everything came into being just as God intended. Because God created out of nothing. Creation has meaning and a purpose. Creation points us to God as the creator of the universe, and we as his creatures are to worship this Almighty God in spirit and in truth. God must always be the center of our focus in our lives, and he must always get the glory in all that we say and do. Second, inasmuch as it is important that we know God created everything out of nothing and then shape it with his word, it is equally important for us to understand that our lives will remain formless and empty until God's word comes in to bring life and peace, beauty and order. And so, this reminds all of us that as believers in this triune and living God, we must let the word of God speak to us, mold us, shape us to the kind of people God wants us to be. I therefore would like to urge you to make it a point each day to spend your quiet time with God and to let God speak to you from his word so that your life will be changed by God to conform more and more to his image. It is the word of God that can sanctify us and make us to be more and more like his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God not only created everything, he also created everything to be good. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 13. In Genesis 1, God repeatedly affirmed that all of his creation was good, even very good. Verse 31, it is good because God created it for a purpose, to reflect and display the good character of the Creator. Though the world today is marred and distorted by sin, it is still good in the hands of God and serves his purpose of proclaiming his glory in the world. And as God's people, we should affirm and seek to preserve the goodness of God's creation. How? With the raw material God has given us, we are to cultivate them for his glory and the good of others. Let me explain what I mean by it. After God created the world raw, in a good state, he placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to tend and to take care of it, given to us in Genesis 2 and verse 15. 15. In the same way, parents, especially believing parents, you are to take the raw materials of your children and prayerfully seek God for wisdom, how you are to shape your children into people of character and integrity. This goes to anyone of us who have people under our care. By our lives, we are to influence them for Christ, praying and hoping that they too will be challenged to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let us ask God for wisdom, how we can glorify Him by using the good raw materials of His creation for His purpose and glory. Interestingly, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, we are told that God created everything for His Son. Let me read out to you what is written in Colossians 1, 15 to 18. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heavens and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. That is, all things were created for Jesus, by Jesus and for Jesus. And He, Jesus, is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That is, Jesus holds together or sustains all that the triune God has created, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus might have the preeminence. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word of God in the beginning, spinning galaxies into existence together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And since Jesus is the center, He is the Lord and the goal of all creation, it goes without saying that life works best when He controls it. Get it? Our life will work for the best if we allow Jesus to lead and guide us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we should therefore submit control of our lives to Him in order that we be able to live a meaningful and blessed life on this earth in worship of the triune God. Not living under Jesus' authority, that He is our God and Master, in the world that he has created carries with it severe consequences. It is just like jumping off a high building in an attempt to defy the law of gravity. And you all know, gravity will win. Have you ever heard of anyone falling from a high-rise building and not get seriously hurt or killed? Jumping away from the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ in an attempt to defy what he has commanded in his word. Will lead us to face many more problems. We all know, without Jesus, life will be meaningless. Those who live promiscuously or a loose life eventually will get themselves having venereal diseases or worse, AIDS. How have you seen sin? Centering life on anything other than Jesus, decreate and destroy. Those who live long enough know the answer. We come now to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 tells us, since we are created in the image of God, we are to bear his image in the way we rule over the world God has created, in the way we work and rest, and in the way we relate to him and to our fellow men. In Genesis 1, we understand that God created the universe in 5.5 days. All that were created within these 5.5 days, the earth, light, sea, plant life, sun, moon, and stars, fish and fowl, and land animals were good. And as I mentioned earlier on, all these were created for his son, Jesus Christ. After God created the universe and all things in it, he created man in his own image. And all these were created in 6 days. Because we are all created in the image of God, we are to worship and honor God and our Lord Jesus Christ in the way we rule over the world God has created, in the way we work and rest, and in the way we relate to him and our fellow men. The image of God in us reminds us we are to mirror God's attributes in our nature, actions, and relationship. As believers in the living and true God, we are to see to it that we honor God in all these areas. We are to mirror God's attributes in the way we rule over the world. Let us look at what Genesis 1, 26 to 31 say. Let me read out to you. Genesis 1, 26 to 31. And God, Elohim, said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God saith unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so we see God created everything. He has sovereign rule over all his creation. Which means to say, because God is sovereign, he does not need help ruling what he had created. And yet, interestingly, the Bible tells us here, he has chosen to create us with a unique capacity and calling to rule. He has singled out that our rule over what he had created is to be marked by a deep respect for human beings of every tongue, tribe, and nation. This tells us we must not look down on anyone. No matter what race they belong to, what status they hold, all, red, yellow, black, and white, are created in the image of God. How should we then relate to each other in the way that honors God? May I say, may I urge you, treat each other with respect, regardless of who that person is. Do not take advantage of those weaker than us. Rather, be a blessing to them and be a blessing to those who are in need of our attention and help. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 reminds us that we are to have the same mind of Christ if we want to honor God in the way we rule the world He had created. Our Lord Jesus consistently thought of others. Though He had equal status as God, yet did not think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantage of that status, no matter what. Philippians 2 tells us He did not. When the time came for Him to be the Savior of the world, He set aside the privilege of deity and took on the state of a slave and became human. Having become human, He stayed human on this earth. It was an incredible process. He did not claim special privileges. Instead, He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death, being crucified on the cross for us sinners who had rebelled and sinned against God. Christ had a selfish mind. He had a sacrificial mind. He had a serving mind. The Lord Jesus consistently thought of others. And we too, as the bearer of God's image, are to consistently think for the well-being of others if we want to honor God in the way we rule over the world He had created. We must consistently think of how, with God helping us, point others, our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our colleagues, and even strangers, to Christ. And we must also consistently think how we can, God helping us, build other believers up in the most holy faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be able to honor God in the way we rule the creation, we must never, never be a stumbling block. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if at any time we stumble someone from coming to him, it is best that we hang a huge millstone on our neck and be drowned in the sea. The second way we can honor God as his image bearer is to know how to work and rest. Genesis 2, 1 to 3 and verse 15, let me read out to you. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. God designed work. Our vocation, as well as every other form of work, and that includes our study, to be part of how we fulfill his mandate to rule over creation. And even now, as we work or study, we bear the image of God. We bear the image of the one who brought all things into existence by the work of his spoken word. God's image can be seen in our work or study. When we work or study for the Lord, in his strength and in his power, for his glory, and according to his will. And this is exactly what Colossians tells us. Colossians 3, 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. In every form of work or study, you all know, all of us know, there are times we find it distasteful. Needless to say, when we find our work or study distasteful, we try to avoid such work or study. But Colossians 3:23 reminds us this very important lesson, that even the things we don't like to take on can honor God when we seek his grace to do it so as to glorify him. And so, a reminder to all of us of the importance of doing our best at work or study so that we can please God. It is also important that we take time to rest when it is needful for us to rest. On the seventh day, God rested after he completed his creation in 6 days. God rested not because he needs rest. He is all-powerful and he's never tired. Rather,
When the Bible says God rested on the seventh day, it signaled that his creation work was completed. But more importantly, his rest from work gives all of us a pattern for our work and rest. All rest and no work does not reflect the image of God. But neither does all rest and no work. And so every week and every day, there must be a balance between the two, work and rest. Rest reminds us we are finite. We have our limit. We tire, grow weary, and burn out. And we must always remind ourselves there is no end to work. And so we must listen to what God said here. Make time to stay away from our work or study when it's time for us to rest. And may I challenge you, one of the best ways to find rest in God is to come each Lord's Day to worship God. For it is when we worship God, we find rest to our souls. And when we do that, we are humble and we acknowledge our need for God to sustain us even as he placed us here on this earth to live as pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks of a Sabbath rest that remains for God's people, a rest found in Jesus Christ that will be fully realized upon his return. On that day, we will find rest from the struggles and labors of our work or study brought on by sin. The third way we honor God as his image bearer is to glorify him in the way we relate to him and our fellow men. And this is given to us in Genesis 2, 16 to 18, and verses 21 to 25. Let me read out to you. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man and his father and his mother, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Being created in God's image enable us to be in a personal relationship with God. And we honor God. And we, out of reverence and love, obey His commandments. Jesus ever said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Adam and Eve were to obey God's instruction not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed, and sin entered the world. And as a result, all of us are fallen beings. Though fallen, the Bible tells us, we still have the image of God, although it is marred and distorted. The fall has hindered our capacity to love and obey God, to be in relationship with Him. And we want to thank God. We want to thank God for giving to us His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and Lord. In Jesus, in His sinless life of perfect loving obedience, and in His death and resurrection, we find the true answer to our fallen state. When we trust in Christ, our sin is forgiven and removed from us, and in its place, we are given Christ's righteousness. And this is exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might, in believing Him, we make the righteousness of God in Him. Finally, once again, when we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have the capacity to bear God's image. We have the right to get back to God. Not only that, through Jesus, God has given us the capacity also to love our fellow man. And this we must do it as we humbly seek God for the grace to obey Him, to love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When I was a non-Christian, I did not know how to love God. Neither did I know how to love even my own family members. I grew up without a mother. I lost my mother when I was 10 years old through an accident. From there on, I lived an independent life, seeking always to do what I can get from others. It was only when Jesus Christ came into my heart and He saved me from my sin,
that I begin to understand, why am I here on this earth for? I begin to understand God created me. And He, because I'm created in His image, I am to love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And when after the Lord saved me, I prayed to the Lord, give me the grace to be able to love my family members. I struggled for quite some time. But as I seek the Lord earnestly, and as I begin to understand more and more of the love of God, He gave me the grace to be able to talk with my own family members. I'm sure all of you who are born again can say also the same thing. If it's not for Jesus, you will not be able to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so this morning, is there any one of us here who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ, who have yet to receive Him as your personal Savior and Lord? Today is the right time for you to do so, so that as God's image bearer, you know what you are supposed to do as God gives you breath on this earth. When we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, not only our sins are forgiven, we also make right with God. And we also are given the capacity to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. My brethren, our worth and dignity rest in who God created us to be and who we are in Jesus Christ. When we have Jesus Christ, we will have meaning and we will understand clearly why we are on this earth. And where we will be going when our life ends here on this earth. Remember, God is the Creator, and we are to worship Him and give Him all the due glory, praise, and honor. And as God's image bearer, we are to honor Him. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but the most of all is we are to love God out of reverence and love for Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your precious word in Genesis 1 and 2. We thank you for making it clear to us that this world came as a result of your creation. It is not by evolution, as those who try to deny it. And so as believers in thy precious word, may we take heart to know, Father, that you are the Creator, you are in sovereign control of all things. And even as now you are in the process of making us more and more like Christ, may we live up to your calling. May we live up as sons and daughters of God that honor and glorify you on this earth. Give us much grace and strength and also the humility to depend on you, to work and to study, to glorify you, to be able to relate to you and to others in a way that others know that you are the living and true God. Hear this, our prayer. We ask all this with thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.